All right, strap in, everyone. Today, we're going deep on a case that really shook things up, Arizona v. United States. We've got a whole pile of documents on the Supreme Court decision, and we're going to break it all down for you.
Yeah, this case dives into the whole fight between state and federal power when it comes to, well, one of the hottest topics, immigration.
We've got the majority opinion, some concurrences that'll make you think, and even some quotes straight from the case itself. So no time to waste. Let's jump right in. First things first, set the stage for us. Why did Arizona feel like they had to pass SB 1070 in the first place?
Well, Arizona was feeling the heat. They had a lot of undocumented immigrants and said it was causing crime, putting a strain on their services, even making things dangerous near the border. They said the federal government just wasn't doing enough.
So they felt like SB 1070 was the way to protect themselves and their resources.
Yeah, exactly. Overwhelmed and like the feds weren't keeping their end of the bargain.
But wait, isn't immigration a federal issue? Can states just go and make their own immigration rules?
That is the question. And that's where the Supreme Court had to step in. They basically said, nope, immigration's a federal thing. And they put their foot down.
So even if Arizona had real concerns, they couldn't just go rogue and make their own immigration system.
You got it. The court made it super clear. The federal government has the power over immigration, and that power comes from a few places. First, the Constitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says the feds get to set the rules for becoming a citizen.
Right, right.
And that means they have broader power over immigration overall.
Makes sense. We need a single national approach, not 50 different ones.
Exactly. The court also brought up the whole idea of inherent sovereign power. Every country gets to decide who comes in. That's just basic.
Okay, so Arizona was bumping up against some big legal ideas with SB 1070.
Big time. And the court wasn't messing around. They brought out the preemption hammer.
Okay, preemption, that sounds kind of scary. Break it down for us regular folks.
Think of it this way. Federal law is the boss. If a state law tries to fight it, federal law wins. Especially when Congress has made it clear they're in charge of something.
So Arizona was trying to change the rules in the middle of the game.
Yep. And the court had to go through SB 1070 piece by piece to see if Arizona was stepping on the federal government's toes.
Let's start with that alien registration part. It made it a state crime for someone undocumented not to have their federal papers. Sounds pretty reasonable, Rob.
Right.
You need those papers. You need those papers.
You'd think, right. But the court said, nope. It messed with the federal system for keeping track of immigrants.
But wasn't Arizona just trying to help enforce the federal rules already in place?
See, the feds have their whole way of doing things.
Yeah.
Collecting information, fingerprints, the whole nine yards. Arizona tried to add their own stuff on top, and the court was like, back off.
So even if the goal was the same, Arizona was going about it the wrong way.
Exactly. They even tried to give out tougher penalties than the feds, which just messed things up more. Consistency is key here.
Okay, strike one for Arizona. What about the part that made it a crime for undocumented immigrants to work?
That's Section 5C, and this is where things get interesting. The feds already go after employers who hire undocumented folks, but they don't punish the workers themselves for working. Arizona wanted to get tougher.
Did the court like that idea?
No way. They struck it down. They said Congress chose not to make working a crime for undocumented immigrants.
And why would Congress do that? Seems like a loophole.
If you make it a crime to work, undocumented people are just going to be exploited even more. They'll take any job, no matter how bad it is, because they have to.
So Congress not saying anything about it was actually really important.
Totally. It wasn't a mistake. It was a plan. And Arizona couldn't just ignore that.
Wow. Okay. That's deep. So two strikes for Arizona. What's next on our SB 1070 list?
Well, there was Section 6, which gave Arizona officers the power to arrest anyone they thought could be deported, even without a warrant from the feds. That raised some eyebrows.
Yeah, I can see why. Sounds like a recipe for overreach.
The court agreed. They said it messed with the way the federal government handles deportations. It's not simple, you know? It involves foreign policy, humanitarian stuff, all sorts of things. The feds need to be in charge, not individual states.
So Arizona could have been locking up people the feds didn't even want to deport.
Exactly. And that creates chaos. Remember, the court stressed the need for a one voice on immigration.
Okay, three strikes, you're out, right? SB 1070's got to be done, right?
Well, not quite. There's Section 2B, and it's the one that survived. But it survived with a big warning label.
That's the show me your papers part, right?
Yeah.
The one where cops have to check immigration status during a regular stop.
That's the one. And the court was hesitant to strike it down completely. They basically said they needed more info on how it would actually work in practice. Like, we'll let it slide for now, but we're keeping an eye on you, Arizona.
What were they worried about?
A couple of things. First, Cops holding people too long just to check their papers, that's not cool. Second, racial profiling. No matter what the law says, this part could lead to cops targeting people based on how they look. And the court made it clear, if that happens, they're stepping in.
So, a win for Arizona, but with a bunch of strings attached. Sounds like the court was trying to walk a fine line between federal power and state concerns.
They were, and that's what makes this case so interesting. It's not just about laws, it's about what happens in the real world.
All right, we've talked about what the majority said, but we can't forget about the other justices. And those concurrences, they're spicy, especially from Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito. They agreed with some stuff, but also had some strong disagreements.
Well, yeah, get ready for some fireworks. Each of them had their own way of looking at things, which really shows just how complicated this whole case is.
Okay, let's start with Justice Scalia, big states' rights guy, right? What did he think about Arizona trying to control immigration?
Justice Scalia was totally on Arizona's side. He said they were dealing with a real problem and the feds weren't helping. He felt like states should have more power to do their own thing on immigration as long as it doesn't directly clash with federal law.
So he's saying the feds are in charge, but states should have more freedom to act.
Yeah, he was worried about what he saw as the feds not doing their job and thought states shouldn't be left hanging. He even said Arizona should be able to make it a crime for undocumented immigrants just to be in the state, regardless of what the feds say.
Whoa, that's a pretty strong stance. No messing around there. Okay, how about Justice Thomas? He's all about sticking to the exact words of the law, right? How did he approach this case?
Justice Thomas, as always, focused on the text. He said the majority was reading too much into what Congress meant and should just stick to what the law actually said.
So he's like, Congress, if you want to stop Arizona, say it clearly.
Yeah.
No guessing games.
Exactly. He thought the court was giving itself too much power to interpret things, and that could mess up how laws are made.
Interesting. So he stuck to his guns, even in a tough case like this.
Absolutely. And that's what makes the Supreme Court so interesting. You have these brilliant minds, each with their own way of looking at the law, tackling these super complex issues. It's like a legal chess match with the whole country watching.
I love that. Okay, last but not least, tell us about Justice Alito. He seemed to be somewhere in the middle, right?
He did. Justice Alito agreed with most of the majority, but had one big disagreement. He thought that Section 5C, the one about making work a crime for undocumented immigrants, should have been okay.
Why is that?
He thought Arizona had the right to control who works in their state, even if they're undocumented. He saw it as a general work issue, not just about immigration.
So he was drawing a line, focusing on the state's power to regulate jobs.
Exactly. And these different opinions are so valuable. They give us different ways to look at the case and help us understand all the details of what's going on. It's not just about right and wrong, but about how different people see the law and how it applies to real situations. It's fascinating how the court tried to find that balance, you know? They made it clear the federal government is the boss on immigration, but they also said states have a role.
Yeah, like trying to balance a seesaw with two totally different weights. How did they manage to do that? What were the big ideas they used to draw the line?
Well, one big one was this idea of conflict preemption. If a state law butts heads with a federal law, the state law loses.
Ah, okay.
Like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Doesn't work.
So when Arizona tried to make their own rules about stuff like those registration papers or working without permission, the court saw that as a direct conflict.
Exactly. The court said Congress already decided how to handle those things, and Arizona was trying to rewrite the rules. You can't do that with federalism. It throws the whole system off.
Got it. But then there's Section 2B, the show me your papers part. That one survived. How do they explain that?
Well, the court said, just looking at it, Section 2B didn't necessarily clash with federal law. All it did was tell officers to try to figure out someone's immigration status during a normal stop if they had a good reason to think the person might be undocumented.
But didn't the federal government say even that was too much? That it would mess up their enforcement and cause all kinds of problems?
They did. They said it would lead to racial profiling and cops holding people too long. But the court wasn't totally sold on that. They said there wasn't anything in federal law that actually said states couldn't talk to the feds about someone's immigration status.
Interesting.
In fact, there's a system where states can ask and the feds have to answer.
So maybe Arizona found a loophole, a way to push things without actually breaking the rules.
It's possible to see it that way. They were definitely pushing the limits, but the court said they didn't go far enough to be a direct conflict.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not like the court gave them a free pass, right? They seemed pretty unsure about how this whole thing would work in real life.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was like they were saying, we're watching you, Arizona.
Yeah.
They were worried about two things: cops holding people too long and racial profiling.
Those are big problems.
Yeah.
So basically, the court was saying, you can check, but don't go overboard and don't start targeting people based on how they look.
Exactly. They emphasized that the Fourth Amendment still applies, you know, the one about unreasonable searches.
Right, right.
Even when it comes to immigration. They were trying to walk that line between letting the state enforce the law and protecting people's rights.
Sounds tricky.
It is. And it's something we're still dealing with today, not just in Arizona, but everywhere. This case set some boundaries, but it also left some big questions open, like, how are these checks going to happen in real life? Will they lead to discrimination? Those questions are for the courts to figure out down the road.
So it's like they gave the ball back to the states and said, okay, show us you can do this without messing up people's rights.
That's a good way to put it. And that's what makes this whole thing so interesting. It's not just about words on paper. It's about the heart of our democracy, you know, how we balance different interests, how we protect our borders, but also our values, and how states and the federal government work together. This case is still super relevant today.
Absolutely. It reminds us that these legal fights are often about something much bigger. It's about real people, real communities, and what kind of country we want to be.
Well said. And speaking of those bigger issues, let's talk about those concurring opinions. They give us a peek into how the different justices saw the case and what it means for everything else.
All right, let's spice things up a bit. We've got Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito, each with their own take on power, states' rights, and this whole immigration mess. First up, Justice Scalia. He was all about states having power, wasn't he?
He was. And he didn't hold back when he said the court went too far in limiting what Arizona could do.
So he thought the court was basically tying Arizona's hands and leaving them to deal with the Fed's failures on immigration.
Yeah, he thought the federal government was dropping the ball, and the court's decision just made it harder for Arizona to protect itself.
He argued that Arizona had the right to protect its own borders, especially when they felt the feds weren't doing their job and putting their citizens at risk.
Exactly. He believed states know their own communities best and should have more control over immigration.
He even said Arizona should be able to make it a crime just to be in the state illegally, no matter what federal law says.
He did. He thought the federal government's failure to control immigration was a crisis for states like Arizona, and that should be able to take strong action.
Wow, he didn't mess around. Okay, what about Justice Thomas? He's the one who's all about the literal words of the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did he think?
Justice Thomas, true to form, said the court was reading too much into things, trying to figure out what Congress meant instead of just looking at what the law actually said.
So he's like, Congress, if you want to stop Arizona, say it clearly. No reading between the lines.
Right. He thought the court was giving itself too much power to interpret the law, which could mess up how laws are made.
Interesting. Sticking to his principles, even in a tough case like this.
Absolutely. And that's what makes the Supreme Court so fascinating. You have these brilliant minds, all with their own views on the law, dealing with huge issues. It's like a high-stakes intellectual battle, and the whole country's watching.
Love that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last one. Justice Alito. He seemed to be somewhere in between, right?
Yeah, he agreed with a lot of what the majority said, but he had one big disagreement. He thought Section 5C, the one about making work a crime for undocumented immigrants, should have been upheld.
Why did he think that?
Well, he felt Arizona had the right to decide who works in their state, even if they're undocumented. He saw it more as a general work issue, not specifically immigration.
So he was drawing a line, focusing on the state's power to regulate work and jobs.
Exactly. And that's what's great about these different opinions. They give us different ways to look at the case and help us understand all the details. It's not just about right and wrong. It's about how people see the law and how it works in real life.
Welcome back. We've been digging into Arizona v. United States, the case that really shook things up when it comes to immigration law. We've covered the main decision, heard from the justices who didn't totally agree, and talked about how this all plays out for real people. Now it's time for the aftermath. What happened after the court made its call? How did things change?
Well, let's just say Arizona v. United States didn't exactly end the whole immigration debate.
I can imagine. So what happened after the dust settled? Did Arizona just give up on their tough stance on immigration?
Not really. Remember, the court didn't throw out everything in SB 1070. Section 2B survived. That's the show me your papers part that says police can check immigration status during a regular stop if they think someone might be here illegally. And that's where things got messy.
So even though the court tried to set some limits, they also created a whole new fight.
Yeah, the fight turned to how Section 2B would actually work on the streets. Civil rights groups were worried about racial profiling.
Right.
He said it would give police too much power and lead to discrimination, basically stopping people based on how they look instead of real suspicion.
I see their point. Seems like a slippery slope.
It does. And on the other side, you had states like Arizona saying they were just trying to do what the federal law already said and that they weren't targeting people because of their race. They were just following the rules the Supreme Court laid out.
So the classic battle, protecting people's rights versus enforcing the law and keeping borders secure. Did Arizona v. United States actually solve anything? Or did it just make things more confusing and lead to more fights?
It's kind of both, honestly. On the one hand, it did set some important ground rules. The court said the federal government is in charge of immigration, and states can't just make up their own systems. They have to stick to what Congress says.
Okay.
But then it also left some big questions unanswered, especially about how to actually use Section 2B.
So they drew a line, but nobody knew exactly where the line was or if it was in the right place.
Exactly. And that's a problem because it has real-world consequences. It affects how police deal with people, how immigrants and their families live their lives, and even the politics of the whole immigration issue.
It sounds like this case was more than just a court case. It was a turning point in how we think about and deal with immigration, even today.
Totally. And it's still playing out. We've got new things popping up all the time. Sanctuary cities, the DACA debate, legal fights over all kinds of immigration policies. They all have roots in what happened in Arizona v. United States.
It's a reminder that immigration isn't just about policy. It's about who we are as a country. Who do we let in? Who do we keep out? And what are the values behind those decisions?
Those are the tough questions that Arizona v. United States made us think about. And we're still wrestling with them today.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into this huge case,
yes.
What's the one big thing you want our listeners to remember? What's the lesson of Arizona v. United States?
The biggest thing to remember is that immigration is super complicated and there are no easy answers. It's something we need to think about carefully, understand deeply, and talk about respectfully, even when we disagree. We have to get past easy solutions and sound bites and really face the complexity of it all, both legally and morally.
That's a powerful thought. And it reminds us that we all have a part to play in how our country handles immigration.
We do. And I think this case, even with all the arguments and disagreements, gives us a good starting point for that conversation.
I agree. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Arizona v. United States. It's been enlightening.
It really has.
And to all our listeners, until next time, keep diving deep.